All right, so this morning we're starting a new series, and it's called Love, Relationships, and Marriage. Love, Relationships, and Marriage. And I was convinced very strongly to open a personal Instagram account. The church has one, it's been going now for years. And I was convinced to open this personal Instagram account. And I was like, okay, after this person convinced me, I was like, okay, so did I say this person? Or after, I'm going to use like a politically correct term. After I was convinced, I'm not going to make it singular or plural. Hey, erase that from the YouTube video. So I was just thinking, okay, so what am I going to be posting on this, my Instagram page? Will it just be me in church, you know, holding the mic? We do that one already on our church one. And what occurred to me is, why don't I, without giving away too much, just post about my thoughts about love from a practical perspective. So I'll do these like 1 minute videos, and I've called those videos My Wife Said. So you see my wife there all the time. In fact, one of my friends from my secondary school, he just said, man, now why are you behaving like a lover boy, a teenager who is in love? I said, thank you. I'm going to put that on my Instagram quote thing. Now, what am I saying? I'm saying that love is something that we all have an opinion on. Now, as we begin this series of love, relationships, and marriage, I want us to have an open mind and to look at things from God's view. So today I'm going to start off the series by looking at what is love. Next week we'll go into marriage, we'll go into relationships, we'll go into what does God expect from you as a husband. What are the things that God has placed in you as a husband and as a wife that you have naturally and that He empowers so that you can make your marriage and your relationships successful? So love has a lot of views. But we're going to look at what is real love in context. And as we build that foundation, you know, we'll be able to go through the other things as well. Okay, so this morning we'll be looking at what is romantic love. There are different kinds of love. There's like the love that parents have for their children. There's the love that brothers and sisters have. So we're not looking at that kind of love. We're looking at romantic love, the love between a man and a woman. And Proverbs chapter 30, verse 18 and 19 says something quite interesting, talking about love. And he says here, there are three things that are too amazing for me, four that I do not understand: the way of an eagle in the sky, the way of a snake on a rock, the way of a ship on high seas. And this is one I am referring to. And the way of a man with a young woman. The way of a man with a young woman. So this love thing is quite interesting. In fact, there's so many songs that have been based on love. So many films. I mean, it's guaranteed sometimes that when you make a movie that has love, man, woman, you know, and all that, it's probably guaranteed to sell. In the 60s, that was like an era where everything was, all the songs were about love. I mean, in those days, I used to love those 60s songs because that was when they played real music. You didn't have synthesizers. You played, you know, proper bass, proper everything. And they would talk about heartbreak. Oh, my love. Oh, my this. Like, man, what's happening here? Love and all that. Do you know one interesting thing that I did? Just by digressing a bit. You know, when I was, should I even say this? I think I should. You know, when I was still chasing my wife, is it chasing? Or no, chasing is not the right word. When wooing, what's the Gen Z term for it? It can't be wooing. Tell me, is it wooing? Okay, Gen Z said when I was wooing. What does that mean? It's like, that's, go to my wife and I say, ooh, ooh, ooh. Is that what that means? I don't think. Anyway, I'll pick that word. When I was wooing my wife, I did a lot of things. And one thing that I did, one day I was just inspired. And I wrote a song. No, relax. Relax, what do you mean? You guys are not letting me concentrate. I'm preaching here. And I wrote this song. I'm just talking about the effect of love here. I was like, Pastor B, when did you start writing? I wrote this song and I went a step further. I now got this guy, he produces music and all that. I said, these are the lyrics of the song. These are the chord progressions. And the guy did it for me. Yeah? Proper song. With violin, keyboard, guitar, and all that. Private song, though. I played it at our wedding. And I now told my wife, I said, look, I've done a song for you. You know? And she was like, she probably thought, okay, whatever. When I gave her the song, she was like, I'm not sure if that's what really won her. She just said, man, this guy, I just have to marry this guy. It's too much. Anyway, what am I saying? You guys are laughing. I'm saying that love does and can do a lot to an individual. It can make you, it can just amend your mind in such a way that, man, you're just doing things that are sometimes unexplained. Now, we're looking at what really is love. So Proverbs chapter 30, verses 18 and 19, it says, there's so many things I've observed in this world, but there is just something really peculiar about a man and a woman who are in love. Now, the other thing we want to specifically look at this morning so that we can make a clear distinction between real love, real romantic love as God sees it, and romantic love as popular culture sees it. Now, God says something in, the Bible says something in Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Romans chapter 12, verse 2. It says, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve God's will, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Psalm 119, verse 130 says, the unfolding of your word gives light. It gives understanding to the simple. So there's the tendency that we can look around us and being unaware that popular culture has shaped our view of what romantic love is. We watch all these films growing up. We see people around us and we subconsciously assume that this is what love looks like, and we now base our relationships on those things. But God says, no, look at it closely. There is a big difference between the romantic love that God, I prescribe, and there is a way that society views love. And you and I need to distinguish what that is, particularly for the people who are coming behind us, the teenagers, the younger ones. Particularly. So this morning we're looking at what is love. And I've said that there is a view that that popular culture has about love. But there is also the correct view that God has about love. This morning we want to examine popular culture's view of love and how God views real love so that we can make the distinction not only to ourselves but to the people that we lead, to our children, to those who look up to us. So I'm going to be looking at the story of a man in the Bible called Amon. I don't know if you guys have heard of him. He was one of the sons of David. And I'm just going to read the story. It's quite a tragic story. The point I want to make is not actually in some of the things that he did, but just to highlight what popular culture says about love. And this story typifies that. We're focusing on his feelings, this man's feelings. So Second Samuel chapter 13, I'm going to read from verses 1 to 19 in chunks. Second Samuel chapter 13, verses 1 to 19, but I'm just going to read it in chunks and I'll explain. So we're looking at what is true love? What is true love? True romantic love. Now, this young man, one of David's sons, we start off in 2 Samuel chapter 13, verses 1. I'll read verses 1 to 4 to start with. In the course of time, Amon, the son of David, fell in love with Tamar, the beautiful sister of Absalom, son of David. Amon became so obsessed with her, Tamar, that he made himself ill. The opening of this is this. It says this, we're focusing on this guy's feelings. Let's leave the other things aside. The Bible says he was obsessed with her to the point where he became ill. Can you imagine that? He thought he was so much in love. He was thinking about her day and night, day and night, day and night. And to the point that he became ill. I don't know if anyone here has experienced that kind of love where, man, I don't know why some people, someone is laughing at the back or smiling. You've experienced that kind of love where it makes an individual almost ill. I remember there was one time that I don't know why all these examples are coming to my mind. There was one time I was missing my wife so much. I'm telling you. And I was, you're like, Pastor, come on. Aren't you meant to be reading Bible all the time? Yes, I do. I was missing her so much that, because she was away in Canada and I was, you know, here. And one morning I woke up and I was missing her so much that I became almost, not ill, I felt almost ill. And I called, I said, look, sweetheart, this is how I'm feeling. What is happening to me? I said, what are you doing to me, this woman? Eh? I was so overwhelmed. And I said, wow, so this is how people feel sometimes when they're like, love, is it love sick? But I wasn't love sick. I was experiencing a surge of, and I was like, oh my goodness, this is. But we now see this young man as well, that he was so obsessed with this girl. Anybody looking at him from outside must have been like, oh my goodness, this guy loves this girl so much that it is causing him to be unwell. But we're looking at what is true love here. So it goes on. It says he became obsessed with her and he made himself ill. It says she was a virgin and it seemed impossible for him to do anything to her. Now, Amon had an advisor named Jonadab, son of Shimeah, David's brother. Jonadab was a very shrewd man. He asked Amon, why do you, the king's son, look so haggard after morning after morning? Won't you tell me? And Amon said to him, I'm in love with Tamar, my brother, Absalom's sister. So this guy was so down that his friend noticed. And he said, hang on, what's happening here? Why are you looking so sad? And he was like, man, there's this girl that I love so much, but there's just nothing I can do about it. I mean, I'm just like, you know, they make movies about these kinds of things. I'm sure he'll have been playing all sorts of love songs. Not the one Pastor B wrote to, by the way. And he'll be like, oh. And it was so visible, his emotions, that his friend said, hang on, why are you looking so haggard? What is it with you? What is it with you? Why, you know? And he said, oh, I love this girl so much. I don't know what to do. I'm sure if it was on Instagram and he went on Instagram or is it TikTok? And he said, oh, I so love this girl. I don't know what to do. You just see loads of comments. You know the comments that people make? Give me a comment. Oh, is that the comment make? God when? Is that a Gen Z thing? Yeah, I haven't seen that one. Oh, God when? Yeah. You see this, you know all these Instagram people. God when, oh, then you see loads of hard things. Tap, 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 tap. Then if... Woman of God, I thought you were very spiritual. What was all this? You see, oh, you see loads of comments. Then if it's on, what's that one now? I'm learning to do the stories. You see loads, you know, when you go to love, 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 you know, popping up like, oh, this guy loves this girl so much. And at a distance, looking at all the symptoms, it seemed like real love. He was emotionally like, I was like, oh, it was even noticeable. But looking at what real love is here. Then the story progresses. Then his friend now advises him that, look, this girl, this is how you can get her. He now plans, he now comes up with a devious plan for Ammon to, you know, intercept this girl. And he now tells her, okay, do this. He now tells Ammon, this is friend, you know, pretend that you're ill and let her come into your bedroom and, you know, take it from there. And he began to devise a plan for him to get this girl that he thought he loved. Do you get what I mean? He began to devise a plan. And you might be like, oh man, that's such a shrewd plan. It was a shrewd plan. We're looking at what real love is here. And if I look at the flip side as well, a guy loves a girl and he's thinking, oh, what can I do? How can I, you know, what was that word that Mr. MC's wife gave? Woo, woo, is it woo? That word doesn't sound very... Give me something slightly more... Huh?
This is old
tell me.
Chirps.
Is
old chirps.
Chirps. How can I chirps her? Please, someone should note all these words that all these people in this church are using. Chirps. Woo.
Pursue.
If you guys can't show me these words in the Bible, I'm going to report all of you to Apostle. You must, all the words they're using, you must be able to show me where you saw them in the Bible. Chips. Woo.
Wi-Fi.
You know, I'm preaching. You guys are distracting me. And... if anybody talks here again, I'm going to take your picture and put it on my Instagram post. So he now begins to devise a way to get her. Very devious plan. And in his own mind, as we've read, he thought that he really loved this girl to the point that it was making him sick. So anyone looking at this from the outside might have thought, okay, this guy really loves this girl. But we're looking at what popular culture defines as love, and it has some characteristics. So I'll read the story, I will just jump. And 2 Samuel chapter 13 and verse 10 to 14, I'll read that. Then Ammon said to her, this girl, bring the food into my bedroom that I may eat from your hand. So he devised a plan. Tamar took the bread she had prepared and brought it to her brother Ammon in the bedroom. When she took it to him, he grabbed her and said, come to bed with me. And she said no to him. Don't force me. Such a thing must not be done in Israel. This is a wicked thing. What about me? How will I get rid of this disgrace? And 14, he refused to listen to her since she was stronger than her and he had his way with her. So he devises a plan, gets this girl to come to his house, to his bedroom, then he forces himself on her. Now, you might be like, oh, I mean, this is like really gross. This is really bad. But if you look at what popular culture looks at or deems as love, you just wait till February 14th next year. Or is it this year? It's next year. And what you see is, I mean, Valentine's Day, which is great. I mean, you should buy a gift for the person you are wooing or chipping and all that. But what popular culture denotes, if you look at the movies that are made, the movies that have been made from the 60s, they play all the romantic music. And they show this man pursuing this woman. And it's so nice. He takes her to the restaurant. He does this. He does that. And at the end of the day, he sleeps with this woman that he's not married to. That's the end game for a lot of what popular culture promotes. This guy did the same thing in a bad way. But that's not the point I'm making this morning. I want us to note something about the love that popular culture promotes and the love that God describes. So he says he loves this woman to the point that he becomes ill with love sickness, in quote. His friend notices it. It's like, man, this must be real love. He now grabs her, sleeps with her. Something now happens, which I want to highlight here. The end of popular culture's love is this. 2 Samuel chapter 13, verse 15. Then Ammon, this is the lover guy, the guy that said he loved this woman so much. The guy that was ill, that his friend noticed. 2 Samuel chapter 13, verse 15, it says, then Ammon hated her with intense hatred. In fact, he hated her more than he had loved her. Ammon said to her, get up and get out. No, she said to him, sending me away will be a greater wrong than what you've done. But he refused to listen to her. He called his personal servants and said, get this woman out of my sight. And he bolted the door after her. That is what popular culture calls love. How did this guy's, in quote, love turn to so much hate? What did she do to him? What did she do to him? Nothing. He was the guilty party, but the Bible highlights something here, that this intense love, in quote, turned to intense hatred to the point that he kicked her out of his house straight away. You do not see the end of pop. You do not. A lot of people do not really see, or let me not say see, know the difference between popular culture, what popular culture calls love, and what God calls love, usually till the end of it. Yeah? Usually till the end of it. And our understanding of love is really important, and even to the people, the younger people who are coming behind, so that when one is saying, I love someone, or when someone is telling you that they love you, you need to ask yourself, with the help of God, this love that this person says they have for me, what kind is it? Is it really love? Is it the love that God is talking about that a man and a woman should have towards one another? Or is it popular culture's kind of love? Now, this is quite extreme, what this guy did. But what you and I will realize is, even in situations where it's not as dramatic and as extreme as this, you see people, they meet someone, they're two good people, and they think they love them. They get married. After a bit, I've had enough of this thing. I married the wrong person. How did you marry the wrong person? How did you marry the wrong person? Isn't this the person that you loved, that you took to the altar? Isn't this the person that you were thinking about day and night? And people just say, well, I'm done. That's the word that people use nowadays. I'm done. You're done. Really? So what am I saying here? Love is the basis of relationships and marriage. But we need to understand what that love really is. And for a lot of people, I believe, from what I see, a lot of the love that I see nowadays, even in the context of the Christian circles, not bad like this, is based on popular culture's kind of love. Popular culture's love is actually lust. That's it. It's not love. It's lust. This guy didn't know that it was lust that was driving him. He didn't know. Because it says he was ill. He thought, it's like, I really love this girl. So it's a time for anyone who's in a relationship or is in a marriage or that to self-examine. Is it love really that I am experiencing for this person? Or is it lust? So we say something. I'll make 3 points and we'll pray this morning. So we've looked at the story of this man, Ammon, and the guy that he thought he was actually in love. But we saw the expression of this love that he thought he had. And at the end of the story, it was a disaster for this girl. It was a disaster. So what are the things that characterize popular culture's kind of love? What is love? That's what we're looking at this morning. I'll make look at three sections, then we'll pray. Well, what I can see from the story of this man, 2 Samuel chapter 13, that characterized lust instead of love, and he was unaware of, was this. At the beginning, a number of points here, I'll make 5 for him. It seemed like real love. At the beginning, it seemed like real love, but it wasn't. The love that he thought he had was selfish. It was just me, me, me. What can I get out of this relationship? What can I get from it? Selfish. It was lust. The intention was to take from the object of his love. Selfish, wanting to take. And he brought disaster to the object of his love. He brought disaster to her life. He made her life. He destroyed her life. So we're looking at the characteristics of love here that popular culture calls love, but it's actually lost. One, it takes. It wants to take. It wants to take. It is selfish. And the actions of popular culture's love, which is called lust, destroys the person, the object of that love. Destroys their emotions, makes them sad, makes them just, do you understand? That is the end of the what popular culture defines as love. So I guess one has to examine and say, okay, and you know, by the way, this is for everybody. I think that for some of us, or you know, for most people, we might have varying shades of this. But the thing is that God will look at, that's where natural man starts. But God has a way to fix these things. Even if someone has experienced lust and they married someone and they're both believers, God can still sort it out and bring them to a place of love. We will look at that in the next coming weeks. So, the result of this, the characteristic of this love that popular culture had, that this guy had, was selfish, wanted to take, and it destroyed the object of his love. If we contrast that with what Jesus says, what God says, which is the second section, and he says, looking at the characteristics of real love, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25, it says, husbands, love your wife as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for it. So real love is sacrificial. It is sacrificial. Real love doesn't just want to take and take and take. It is sacrificial. popular verse, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Real love wants to ensure that the object of that love has a fulfilling life. That that person doesn't perish, that that person doesn't become worse off by the love that this individual is giving them or the lost. It has the well-being of that person at heart. Then if you look at 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 4 to 6, it says, love is patient, love is kind, love does not envy, love does not boast, it is not proud, it does not dishonor others, it is not self-seeking, it is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with truth. It always protects, it always trusts, it always hopes, always perseveres. So we see the kind of love that Jesus wants us to have as believers and that he has empowered us to have. It says it's a love that is sacrificial. It is a love that desires the best for an individual. It is a love that will constrain itself to ensure that the object of that love has a good experience. That is what God talks about when it comes to love. I remember, I mean, for me as an individual, I was like, our understanding of love and the love of God and how it constrains us, I believe, is what really helps us to give our partners the love that they deserve. God really has to help the individual. Popular culture does not think that way at all. So we've looked at the characteristic of the popular culture kind of love, selfish, take, take, take. We've looked at God's view of love, that it is sacrificial. It has the best at heart for the person, and it constrains you. That's the second thing. And you know, for a lot of us, we will be perfect when we get to heaven, but we're not perfect now. Do you understand? We are progressively trying our best. And I was just saying to myself, this 1 Corinthians chapter 13, where love really constrains you. And I was like, man, there are times that, you know, I'm a bit grumpy with my wife. And I'm like, oh, look, I don't want to talk to anybody. Can you imagine that kind of thing? There are times that I've had a bad day. There are times that, look, I don't want to be nice. I just want to be like, you know. And, you know, maybe my wife comes and she's like chirpy and all that. I'm like, look, I'm just, you know. And I'm about to respond in a way that is not ideal. Then the love of God comes and constrains me and says, look, no, Pastor B, you will not do that. You will be kind. Pastor B, you will not do that. My wife doesn't call me Pastor B. She calls me something else. And it comes to my mind, it's like, you will not do that. You will be kind. You will be patient. That's what the love of God makes us do. Well, it doesn't make us do it. It helps us. The love of God also helps you to do a number of things as well, but we'll look at those in the subsequent episodes. And lastly, and this is the third and final section, if we're going to be successful in our relationships, if we're going to be successful in our marriages, then the foundation of love has to be looked at. What do you think real love is? How does God empower you and I to bring real love into our relationship? Is our version of love what we saw our parents do, which might be good? Is our version of love what we've seen on Netflix? Is our version of love what we've... What is our version of love? Psalm 11 verse 3 says something. It says, when the foundations are destroyed, what can the righteous do? So your understanding of love, my understanding of love, the understanding of love that any individual has, we're talking about believers here, will form the bedrock, the foundation of how you take things forward. Understanding love. So I'm going to end there this morning. So this morning we've looked at what is love. We looked at the story of Ammon, one of the sons of David from 2 Samuel, who thought he loved this woman, but his love was lost, popular culture's kind of love. We've looked at the fact that there's certain things that characterize this lust that people call love sometimes. We've looked at the fact that God views love and characterizes love in a particular way. And the third thing we looked at this morning was, if the foundations of love, if our understanding of love is not really clear from a biblical God's perspective, then it might be a bit of a challenge. But in saying that, irrespective of where an individual is, God can correct that person's view of love if they make up their minds to allow God to do so. I use that word allow. To allow God to do so. Amen. This morning, I just want us to pray. We're starting off. We've started this series about love. And I've said quite a few things. And I want us to pray that God will help us to have a true understanding of love, not only for ourselves, but also for the people who are coming behind us, for our children, for our nephews and nieces, for ourselves, for our future as well. So this morning, we just want to pray that God, give me a true perspective of what love is. Help me to understand. Help me to be constrained by your definition of love. Everything in my mind, every opinion that I have that has been formed, probably subconsciously, by popular culture that doesn't align with God's form of love. This morning, help me. Remove every foundation of love that I have that is not biblical, that is not your kind of love, and replace it and empower me to live my life according to your precepts of love. In Jesus' name, let's just begin to pray this morning.